Welcome to the Human Beat. I'm Roger Rucca. Along the Oregon coast, using offshore wind to generate electricity is not happening right now. There are currently no leases and no proposed projects. But the state of Oregon wants to be prepared when offshore wind proposals reemerge. To that end, the state is working on a roadmap that defines standards to be considered. There will be public meetings along the coast where Oregonians can both learn more about offshore wind energy and tell what's important to them. The first public meeting will be in Seaside next week on Thursday, April 24th. To find out more about the meetings and what has brought us to this point, we talked with Jeff Burright, who is leading development of the offshore wind roadmap.
My name is Jeff Burright. I work for the Department of Land Conservation and Development in the Oregon Coastal Management Program, where I am the offshore wind roadmap coordinator.
And we're going to be talking today about offshore wind off the Oregon coast. Can you background us a little bit on what's happened so far and how we got to here to where we are having this discussion today?
Absolutely. Yes. So as you mentioned, you know, Oregon has some climate goals to achieve 100% clean energy by 2040, coming from House Bill 2021 in the 2021 legislative session. And offshore wind emerged as one potential option to help Oregon achieve that goal. And back even earlier than that, in 2019, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management contacted the state, letting us know that they were receiving interest from developers because of the wealth of the offshore wind resource off of Oregon, and that those companies were interested in finding areas that they might lease out in federal waters offshore Oregon to potentially develop offshore wind energy. So starting in 2019, BOEM, that Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, started a process with multiple agencies over the course of several years to try to identify areas of leased conflict that would also be potentially economically viable to proceed. And that whole process culminated last year in 2024 with the identification of two wind energy areas. One of them was off the coast of Reedsport, more or less, and another was located off the coast of Brookings. And the one off of Coos Bay was about 32 miles offshore. The one off of Brookings was about 18 miles offshore. And BOEM, upon identifying those areas, came to the state and said, Oregon, we would like to proceed with leasing these areas and conduct an auction. At this point, that triggered the state's role in the process. Under the Coastal Zone Management Act, coastal states have the ability to review federal actions against the policies that we have as a state, anytime that there is an action that might affect the uses and resources of the coastal zone. So last year, starting in May, the BOEM submitted some proposals to us to do this leasing. Now, leasing is not the same thing as actually going out and building something. A lease just gives the right for a company to go out and study what they just bought and then prepare an application that may then be reviewed in 5 years additional time. So we conducted that review. We held meetings up and down the coast. We worked with our partners. And ultimately, at the state level, we came out with a conditional concurrence, which was a yes-if decision, saying, BOEM, yes, you may move forward with leasing, but only if you include certain conditions to protect some environmental resources of concern, limiting boat speeds, protecting benthic habitats, engaging in some notification engagement work with tribes, fishing groups, and others, and keeping the state involved throughout the entire process. And so by the middle of last summer, it appeared as if leasing was going to move forward. And then around September of last year, a few things happened. Four out of the five eligible bidders ended up dropping out of the auction, citing various reasons, but I think generally speaking that the risk of proceeding just was outside their comfort zone. There was also some vocal concern from some interested and affected parties in Oregon that had some concerns about the BOEM process, that maybe it hadn't identified some areas of potential conflict or areas of importance, and had some concerns with leases moving forward in those areas. There was a lawsuit from one of the federally recognized tribes of Oregon related to the environmental assessment with the leases. And then we had this offshore wind roadmap, which is what I'm here to talk about today. Leasing was poised to move forward, but at the same time, there was a conversation happening around an offshore wind roadmap for the state. Other states such as Maine, California, New York, Connecticut, some others, all went through this process earlier on, where they kind of got internally coordinated, made sure that their policies were up to snuff, made sure that they had were arranging the pieces to be ready for offshore wind. And so, as a result of an informal conversation that began in 2023, that was convened between the Midwater Trawlers Cooperative, the Blue Green Alliance, and Renewable Northwest, there was this ongoing conversation about offshore wind in Oregon that resulted in ultimately House Bill 4080 from last year's legislative session, which directed DLCD to lead the development of an offshore wind roadmap that would define standards to be considered in future offshore wind processes and decisions. So we had leasing that was poised to move forward. We had concerns in the process. We had this roadmap that had been greenlit by the legislature. And then in September of 2024, Governor Kotek sent a letter to the Secretary of the Interior requesting that leasing be postponed until the state could complete its roadmap. And then any follow-on policy amendments that might happen as a result of that roadmap. And then immediately following that, BOEM did issue notice that they were postponing leasing. And then the election occurred, a change in direction has happened. And so where we are today is that leasing did not move forward. There are no leases for offshore wind off of the Oregon coast. There are no proposed projects for offshore wind off the Oregon coast right now. But what we do have is this direction from the legislature to develop an offshore wind roadmap that defines these standards to be considered. And that runs in through multiple areas of interest, such as protecting the environment, protecting areas and resources of cultural significance to tribes, establishing a workforce that is housed, trained, and equitable. Achieving our clean energy targets, supporting local communities and sustaining those existing local economic uses. So there's kind of a large charge for this roadmap to achieve. There's an element of this where we want to look at ourselves and look at our standards and our policies and make sure that when the state has our role to review these projects out in federal waters, that we are clear on what we want those projects to protect and achieve, and the benefits that we want to make sure that we capture. At the same time, we also want to identify what are those strategic opportunities we could be taking right now that could enable that path to be traveled in the future. So I think of the roadmap as defining the path, which is different from then deciding to walk that path.
So, what is the timetable for the roadmap? Is this something that the state wants to complete within in the short term so they can start working from it? Or is this going to take a longer term process?
Well, under House Bill 4080, the legislature required us to provide a report on our progress by September 2025. We are currently working with the legislature to potentially extend that date into, middle of next year. in recognition of how things have changed with regard to leasing, but also because as we've begun our process of developing the roadmap, we realized that it was kind of a quick timetable, and there's a lot of additional engagement work that we want to be doing with tribes and the fishing community and local communities. And the fact of the matter is that just takes time.
So how is all this going to happen? How is this roadmap going to be developed? And does Clatsop County figure into it in some way, even though we weren't one of the selected sites initially?
Yeah, great question. So I started on in this position in September. By November, we had built a roundtable of multiple interests that were going to advise DLCD on the creation of the roadmap. And we had our kickoff meeting back in November. This group has about 50 members representing a diverse array of interests, both along the coast and also statewide. And we have been meeting monthly in all-day meetings that are, recorded on YouTube, posted on our website, open to the public with opportunity for comment at every meeting. And we have, we're planning to continue meeting through June of this year. And then my hope is to take the summer to do a little bit of that behind the scenes work to build a draft that we can then work on together, as well as conduct some of that engagement work that I was talking about. And then from all of that work, have a draft that we can put out for public comment sometime early next year.
And eventually, including the public comment, the draft would go back to the legislature for their consideration.
Yes, that's right. And I wanted to come back to your question about Clatsop County in particular. And I really emphasize that this roadmap is for all of Oregon and for all of the Oregon coast. It's true that during the BOEM process to identify lease conflict sites, they focused on the South Coast first. And a lot of that is because the wind resource is just stronger down there. And so that was seen as the place to begin. However, it's possible that on a long enough timeline, there may be areas that are identified in the north coast of Oregon to where this could be a relevant issue. There are also potential effects related to port development or additional infrastructure needs that could then have intersections with Clatsop County and those communities. So we have been also, alongside the roadmap process, doing an assessment of the policies at both the state level and the local level. And we've been meeting with local planning staff up and down the coast to talk about what offshore wind might mean for each community and how well prepared each community feels with regard to the policies they would get to use in a future review.
Can you talk at all about what some of the arguments pro and con have been in the past about offshore wind off Oregon's coast?
One of the main reasons why we're considering offshore wind at all is because of those climate energy goals that we as a state have, that we want to take responsibility for our own emissions. And especially as our energy system is changing and trying to decarbonize, as we try to move off of fossil fuels, that means there's going to be an increased demand on the electricity system specifically. And I'll also mention a parallel effort that's going on right now. There's an Oregon energy strategy that's being led by the Oregon Department of Energy that is looking at different ways that we might achieve our climate targets through our energy system. And so through that process, they are identifying that the demand for energy in Oregon is going to rise, and electricity specifically is going to rise. And we need diverse ways to address that need. It's also been recognized that the coast in particular has some challenges to its grid. It's been described, especially on the South Coast, that they exist at the end of a very long extension cord. There are five large power lines that cross the coast range to reach substations on the coast and then get to the local distribution grid. And so there's some vulnerability there. And there's also no energy generation west of the Coast Range. So there's been this thought that if we had energy generation going from west to east instead of east to west, there are some grid resiliency and grid stability benefits that kind of counterintuitively also would allow us to expand renewable energy generation on the east side. And so there are some of those larger grid benefits that people have talked about. As far as the challenges go, the ocean is already a busy place. There are people who use the ocean. There are species that use the ocean. And the energy that would be extracted from that ocean system is already put to use for the upwelling that provides the productivity of our ocean and allows our ocean, especially off of Oregon, to be so productive. And so there are concerns about the unknown. What could the effects be, and how much development are we talking about? And is there a limit of what the capacity of our ocean off of Oregon would be to hold that? So there are some space use conflicts with existing users, this question of environmental effect. We're also hearing concerns about the view shed of the Oregon coast and what might it look like if there were turbines offshore. Even that far out, there may still be times when you would be able to see them, and trying to understand how that intersects with the values of Oregonians, how that relates to tribal cultural practices and sites that are sacred to tribes as well. So those are just a few of the concerns I've heard. And I've also heard about the shoreside aspect of this, that if you're going to have an offshore wind industry, there is a need to do port development to support the construction and assembly of those large platforms. And that then necessarily could have effects on Oregon's estuaries. And so there are concerns there as well, and interests in protecting the resources that we have that already bring us so much wealth.
Well, that's really a great summary of what's going on so far. I guess the only thing I would add is specifically that I know the fishing industry has been concerned about what the effects might be, and that's something that is important to many communities along the coast. And as you said earlier, the unknown is scary sometimes.
Sure. And, to me, when I think about it, my big question is, what could coexistence look like? And what would people want to see? And what are the places we can't go? And are there areas out there that would be lesser conflict, that would have less of an effect, that and are there agreements that could be made that might facilitate that kind of coexistence that would be necessary?
So how is the process going to work to create this roadmap? What has been happening, and what is going to be happening going forward?
Sure, yeah. So we've been having these meetings of our Offshore Wind Roadmap Roundtable that has been helping us to really understand what those effects are that are on people's minds. And then we're looking at our policies and trying to match them up one to one and say, okay, for every effect that we see or every benefit you want to capture, do we have a policy that covers that, or do we have gaps? And that's been a conversation we've been having. We're also looking at kind of the waypoints along the path, as I mentioned before. What are those necessary steps, or what are those strategic opportunities? And so we're getting to a point now where there's been enough conversation that it's time to poke our heads up and look around a little bit. And that's why we're now starting to have some public meetings along the coast. And the first one is going to be in Seaside on April 24th, where we're going to take some of the progress we've made and have some of the similar conversation we've had here today about where is offshore wind, where are things going, how does the roadmap fit in, and unveil some of the things we're talking about, the questions that we're asking, and then seek some public feedback. Are there effects that we aren't thinking about that we need to be thinking about? Are there waypoints that we're missing along the way that are important in order for Oregon to be ready for offshore wind, or conversely, in order for offshore wind to be ready to be off of Oregon? And we want to be there to answer questions and really just to listen and to see what people have to say. So that first meeting, Seaside, April 24th, it's going to be at the Bob Chisholm Community Center, starting at 5:30 and running until 7:30. And then in May and June, we're also going to be having meetings in Brookings and in Coos Bay, respectively. And we're still working out the locations and the specific dates.
So at these meetings, anyone who is interested is welcome to come and learn and also to make their feelings, make their opinion known.
Yes. Yeah. And I hope they do.
Is there any particular thing you would suggest to people to prepare for the meetings in terms of what at your end, what you would like to hear from people and how you would like them to approach this?
I think that we're going to have some materials there at the meeting. Like I said, talking through what we see so far as the path that needs to be traveled. And so I will be interested to hear what people have to say about that. I do want to hear what effects people have on their minds, the thing or the benefits that we want to make sure that we capture. And so coming with that in your minds would be great. I'll also say that we have a website. If you just do a search for Oregon Offshore Wind Roadmap, it'll take you there. It's the DLCD website where we have our meeting recordings of our roadmap roundtable, meeting materials. There's a meeting that, as of this recording, will be tomorrow, April 15th. It's a virtual meeting where I'm going to be unveiling some of these waypoint diagrams that I hope to also be bringing to these public meetings. And so, if people want to study ahead or participate in the conversation, they'd be welcome to go to that public meeting as well. We're at a point now where we see that there is benefit in planning ahead. There's benefit in verifying our values and our interests when it comes to offshore wind. And now is a good time to be doing that, regardless of what is happening in the federal scene when it comes to offshore wind. And we're taking the opportunity that we have. When I was in grad school, I studied offshore renewable energy and the permitting process and how people work together to deal with uncertainty and risk. And there's this concept of the precautionary principle, where when there is threat of irreversible harm to an irreplaceable resource, you have to move slowly and you have to act with precaution. We also in Oregon have a mitigation policy that says it has this hierarchy where you say first you avoid impacts and then you try to reduce them as much as possible. Then you rectify any harm that you find or you try to address it over time. And those impacts you can't avoid or minimize, you compensate for in some way. And then we have another school of thought that is adaptive management that says, there are some things you just aren't going to learn until you get out in the water and try it. And so if we're smart on the front end, there might be ways that we can take a step and watch it carefully and give ourselves room to maneuver if we encounter a surprise. And so one of the things that I'm really interested in through this process is how we can blend these different approaches to risk. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I learned by looking at processes that have happened around the country is, in simple terms, it all comes down to trust. That you may not be able to know ahead of time what the outcome is going to be, but if you can find a way to establish trust in that you're making a responsible decision, that you can find a way to move forward. And my personal belief is that a good process can be a scaffold on which trust is built. And for me, through this roadmap process and through the eventual roadmap that we build, I'm hoping that we can identify what that scaffold for trust is for Oregon. One thing that I didn't mention is that there is potential that there could also be people seeking offshore wind within state territorial waters that could include the North Coast. Off of Camp Rylea, our territorial sea plan identified an area that is potentially suitable for renewable energy development. And we did get an inquiry last year of someone who was asking, well, does that mean offshore wind too? And so it becomes even more timely for us to have this roadmap in place to understand what those challenges and opportunities might be for stuff, both in state waters and beyond.
And just to clarify, when we're talking about offshore, how far offshore generally are we talking about? I mean, generally speaking, can somebody standing on the beach see? Will they be able to see whatever's put up out there, or do we know yet?
Yeah. So during the BOEM process, the closest they identified in their wind energy areas was 18 miles offshore. And because our slope or our shelf has such a steep slope, the only thing that works for offshore wind is floating offshore wind. And so these would be these floating platforms that are connected to the seafloor with long mooring systems. And, we have such deep depths that right now, the technology limitation is out to about 1,300 meters depth, and that gets you out to about 40 miles tops. Although this is a new technology around the world, right now there are no floating offshore wind platforms in the ocean deeper than 300 meters. And so there would be some new technology challenges that would go along with putting offshore wind that far out, that deep. But to your question of would you see it? People who are interested should go check out the BOEM Oregon webpage has a page dedicated to some visual simulations that they did last year, where they contracted with a company to take photographs from certain viewpoints on the Oregon coast and then figure out what the right size of turbines would be and insert them in the picture. And they even made some YouTube videos of time-lapse videos of what it would look like if you were standing there and if there were offshore turbines. Might be kind of an interesting thing for people to take a look at. One other effect that I think I'd like to mention, or I guess one more concern that I'd like to mention. I've heard a lot in our roundtable meetings about an interest in accountability, that if we proceed with offshore wind development, how can the state have an ongoing role in making sure that we're watching for what the effects might be, and that there are clear accountability measures in place to respond if something happens that we don't expect. And so that's something that we are trying to build into our process as well.
We've been talking with Jeff Burright, who is leading development of Oregon's roadmap to properly evaluate any offshore wind energy proposals off our coast. Next week's public meeting about the roadmap will be Thursday, April 24th in Seaside at the Bob Chisholm Community Center from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. You can learn more with a web search for Oregon Offshore Wind Roadmap. This is the Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks for listening.